and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I appreciate being with you on a Saturday. Yes, indeed. We're ready for some more information that we can use. And I'm going to tell you what I'd like for us to start out with. You know, is it officially summertime yet? Officially. I mean, I know a lot of us have been considering it summertime. You know, about the time it started heating up a little bit, and for most people, school was over for the regular academic year. But is it official? I don't remember when it's supposed to start. June 19th? I don't remember. Till June 23rd? Anyway, either summer is here or it's going to be here real, real, real soon. So I tell you what I'd like for us to take a look at. Having a happy summer by having some happy brain chemicals. Yeah, a happy summer powered by a happy brain. Yes, indeed. Who wouldn't mind going for that? A happy summer powered by a happy brain. Dr. Loretta Bruning, coming to us through Psychology Today, is going to tell us how we can do that. I want this to be real. Now, that's the way we're going to work it. So just so you know, there's some steps we can take in our living that can help us really have the experience of a happy summer by having a happy brain. There are actually steps we can take that can help us have a happy brain. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you do these steps, you are guaranteed to have a happy brain no matter what. Nope, not saying that. I am saying that if you do these things, it may improve your chances of having a happy brain. Now, all things being equal, because I know that, you know, people have just different things going on in our lives. Some people are dealing with depression, and that is partly a chemical situation, chemical in the brain, that is, chemical situation that needs to be properly addressed. And of course, there is the emotional issue, but you all remember, our emotions are set in our brain, literally. Some of you had the pleasure of hearing our guest who talked about the emotional brain. That's what his book is entitled, The Emotional Brain. And he showed scientifically how the brain is where we have the seat of our emotions. Okay, so there are different things. That's why I say all things being equal, there's a chance that we can improve our experience. There's a chance that we can improve our ability to have a happy summer by having a happy brain. One of the things you want to do is avoid negative comparisons. Try not to make a whole bunch of negative comparisons. Summertime can tempt you, for example, to compare your body to other people's bodies. We have so many lovely ladies. I think that this is especially true for females, whether we're talking about women or girls. I think that there's no doubt now, don't get me wrong. You notice I said this is probably more of a problem for females, because we know that males are beginning to have some body image issues. But I think it is more prominent of a problem, more prevalent of a problem for females. Again, girls and women. And you all know the stories, partly because of how females are depicted in the movies, on TV, in magazines. And of course, we don't want anyone to be overweight or obese. But at the same time, skinny people are not the only attractive people in the world. In fact, some people really don't consider skinniness all that attractive. Some people don't. Now, we can be healthy, and this is the key. Whether you consider yourself small or large or medium size, being healthy is the key. And you can be small and be unhealthy. But when it comes to attractiveness, well, What really satisfies one person's eyes and brain may not satisfy another person's eyes and brain. I say eyes and brain because your eyes and your brain are involved in your perception of what you see and your assessment of what you see. And whether you determine that what you're seeing is attractive or not, the brains and the eyes are involved in that process. So we know that we have males who have issues with bulimia, anorexia, but that is more prevalent of a problem with females because females just tend to have more of an issue with regards to body image. And even when eating disorders don't come into play, females will often compare themselves to each other. Men may see each other. I mean, we do see each other. I mean, we have eyes, right? But we may not get so taken in by the magazine cover showing this guy with these huge, huge, huge muscles. And in some cases, depending on which magazine you're looking at, truly overgrown muscles. Muscles that have gotten that way partly through the use of hormones and other stuff that shouldn't be put into the body. A lot of guys can see that and say, well, no, not interested. And mean it. Truly not be interested. Doesn't mean that men don't care about body image. But looking at what is portrayed as attractive, appealing, doesn't tend to affect males the way it affects females. And so ladies, girls, be healthy. You don't take all of your cues from other people who would like to have you think this is the size you have to be in order to be attractive. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, you look at the movies, you look at the TV programs. The truth is, not every female you see, not every teenage girl you're going to see on TV is going to be the exact same size. Not every woman you're going to see in the movies is the exact same size. They are different sizes, actually. Some a little heavier, some a little lighter. Some much heavier. Some much lighter. We really are seeing a variety of sizes. I think the issue is we just tend to zero in on a particular size, a particular shape. And sometimes it's not always the people who are presenting, the actresses or the actors, whether TV or movies. It's not always the people presenting, the people we see in the magazines. Sometimes it's just the way we choose to interpret what we see. And sometimes the way we choose to interpret means we sometimes shut out some pictures that are just as prominent as others. We shut out some body sizes on TV, in the movies, that are just as prominent as other body sizes. We fixate on one particular size, and then we say that's the only size they show us, and so that must be the only size that's truly attractive. First of all, that's not the only size they show us, and secondly, there's got to be more than one size that's attractive. It is great, I think, when women have those flat tummies, men have those flat tummies, but does a person have to have a flat tummy in order to be attractive? As a matter of fact, zeroing in on the tummy alone, is the completely flat tummy the only attractive tummy? If a person has a little bit of a curve there in the abdomen, in the stomach, in the tummy, little bit of a curve there, just a slight bulge, how many of you say, hey, that's no big deal? How many of you say, hey, I kind of like? And, you know, there's some men who say this. You know how some men like to come up behind their woman and hold her, you know, wrap their arms around her. And they say, hey, I kind of like having a little bit of flesh there for me to hold on to. And it truly does not bother them at all. Ladies, I want you all to know this. You need to know this. There are plenty of men who truly mean it when they say, hey, that stomach doesn't have to be completely flat for me to find it appealing. I don't mean they just tolerate it. No, that is not what I'm saying. There are plenty of men who find a little bit of a pudge attractive, just as attractive as a completely flat tummy. Now, like I said before, completely flat tummies are beautiful. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with man or woman, boy or girl, having a completely flat tummy, especially if that tummy is flat and you're using healthy means to have it that way. You're not harming yourself to have a flat tummy. But other than that, you know, you all things being equal, you're taking good care of yourself. I think it's great to have a flat tummy, male or female. But I also think that it really is okay to have a tummy that's not completely flat. I'm kind of like the men who say, hey, that tummy doesn't have to be completely flat for me to find it attractive. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the way we interpret beauty, there is more than one picture of beauty. And I'm talking about the live, living picture now. The person, the human being's body. There's not just one form of beauty. There are really quite a few forms of beauty. So I just want to let you know, you don't have to put yourself through a whole lot of changes, especially if those changes are going to bring harm to you in order for you to be attractive. Can you imagine harming yourself to fit your image of attractive when there are so many images of attractiveness out there that so many people gravitate to, and you harm yourself when it's not even necessary? All right. Avoid making negative comparisons, comparing your body to other people's bodies, and focusing on your shortcomings. That doesn't mean you should ignore your shortcomings, particularly when it comes to behavior, attitudes, etc. Don't ignore them. Address them. Take care of them. Resolve them. But don't just ruminate on them, just thinking about them over and over and over and over and over and doing nothing about it, just kind of commiserating, just being upset that you have the shortcomings. We all have shortcomings. It's part of being human. Comparing your body to others and saying, oh, my body, I'm not attracted. My body is so ugly. Says who? It helps to know that social comparison is a natural mammalian impulse. Mammals sometimes avoid conflict by comparing themselves to others and deferring to more powerful individuals. We've inherited a brain that seeks safety by scanning for signals of who's in a position of strength. When it's you, your mammal brain releases serotonin and it feels good. But all too often, it's not you. You sizing up who you consider to be the enemy, and you determine that the one you have called your enemy is stronger than you. And that's because your mammal brain is skilled at noticing the strengths of other people. And when you understand the primal origins of your urge to compare, it helps you to kind of ease up on yourself. You can actually retrain your brain to focus on your strengths instead of your weaknesses. That's harder than you might expect because your brain has evolved to avoid conflict with stronger individuals. Now, remember this. That is focusing on that whole issue of survival. Uh-oh, it looks like a conflict is about to arise, and I better size things up so that I can get an idea as to how things might turn out if this conflict turns really ugly. So you start sizing up, quote unquote, the enemy. And you start trying to determine which of you is stronger, which of you might be faster, which of you might be meaner. Sometimes the meaner one wins the battle. But here's the thing. How about this? When we're comparing ourselves to other people, we're looking at their bodies and we're thinking back on what we looked like the last time we looked in the mirror. And there's no chance that a conflict is even going to arise. You see this person walking by and you determined, oh, wow, she really looks good. I'm talking about you ladies. She really looks good. And it has nothing to do with sex. You're not thinking about trying to have sex with her. You're just noticing she looks good. And then you start comparing yourself. Do I look as good as she does? Is my body shaped as beautifully as hers? That's when you're really putting yourself through some changes, some mental and emotional changes, and truly unnecessarily. Why do you have to even go through that? Is my body as beautiful as hers? Well, if it is, so what? If it is not, so what? How will that change your life? Whatever the answer is, if her body is more beautiful than yours, if her body is not more beautiful than yours, how will it change your life? Seriously, how will it change your life? If you decide that her body is more beautiful than yours, then what are you going to do? Are you going to get on an exercise program if you're not already on one? Or will you make some changes to your exercise routine if you're already working out? How about this? What if you were to decide that her body is more beautiful than yours, her face is prettier than yours, her hair is prettier than yours, but you're going to be satisfied with your look, knowing that you're doing everything that you can do to look your best. Yeah, rather than focus on trying to look someone else's best, be satisfied looking your best. Yeah, don't try to improve on the other woman's image. Do what you can to improve your image. Not so that you finally get to the point where you look as good as she looks, but you're doing what you can to be healthy, to be fit, and to look your best. There's some other steps you can take to help you increase the chances of having a happy brain. Can you see how this helps? Remember now, you're trying to avoid negative comparisons because they're negative. Being negative, especially being negative about yourself, doesn't do a thing to help you have a happy brain. That causes you to have a sad brain. We don't want the sad brain. We're going for the happy brain. I'll share with you some more how-tos when I come back.